Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me? What's wrong with you people? I got nothing for you. What's wrong with you? Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with His Excellency, Captain Jack Barry.
I don't know about that.
It's good to see you, my man.
I don't know about that.
How has your week been? How's the week been?
It's starting out well. Although my wife's not feeling super great. Her back's kind of hurting her. So she went to the chiropractor and they told her to take it easy for about a day. So
take
she's
it easy.
To.
Yeah.
But
sounds good. Yeah. I understand back problems. It's something that, I don't know if it's like, I do believe that like back problems can be hereditary, because there's so many of the Loftus men have bad backs. I can't explain it, but my back has like tweaked out ever since high school. And like my brothers struggle with it. I struggle with it. My dad, my grandpa, my uncle. Like there's so much. I blame my genes is what I do. I don't know if that's true or not though. But all that to say, I understand her pain. I hope she gets better soon. I'm also scared of chiropractors, so that might be part of it, is I'm not engaging in like the thing that's going to make it better, because I'm a weenie. I'm a weenie. All right, Jack. Well, my man, it goes without saying, we have a lot to talk about today. But it would not be a reformatory episode without the reformatory cigar of the week. What do you got for us, my friend?
Yes, as most of you heard last week, we talked about how the amount of cigar brands starting with the letter M are not boutique enough for us.
No.
So
we weren't going to go Macanudo.
We are going in. No, I'm not even touching that. Anyway, so we are exploring the mystery grab bag here. I like to frame it, because I'm a kid of the 90s. I like to frame it in a way in which we talk about like Airheads. When you went to grab like a pack of Airheads, you got that white mystery Airhead all the time, and you're always trying to figure out what it was. So
still don't know to this day. Don't know. And honestly, I don't want to know. I don't want the magic ruined. I really don't.
In any case, so what we're doing is basically going through different cigars that start with the letter M. Last week was the Mi Querida by Dunburton Tobacco and Trust. This week, you know what? It's interesting. We have not done a whole lot of reviews for this cigar brand a lot, primarily because the brand starts with the letter C.
Okay.
But I really like this brand. It's more of an East Coast kind of brand.
Okay.
But the brand is called Crown Heads.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
And the cigar is called the Mil Diaz.
The Mil Diaz.
The Mil Diaz. Yes.
I like it. I like
it. So this is a interesting cigar. I will say that this is, there's a couple different arrays of the cigar, and they kind of score anywhere between the 91 to the 93 zone. Mm-hmm. This particular cigar is called the Mil Diaz, and the shape of it is called the Edmundo. Mm. It's basically a 5 3/8 by 52 kind of gauge right there. So a little bit kind of more Robusto-ish, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it has some, it's interesting. The fillers are Costa Rican, Nicaraguan, and Peruvian.
Oh, look at you.
The binder is Nicaraguan. The wrapper is Ecuadorian. Whole cornucopia of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Tasting notes. Sweet and sour. Fruit. Kind of like a nuttier kind of smoke as well. Some caramel as well mixed in there. Some spice and some pepper. Kind of evens things out. How much would you think, Josh, okay, would you favor that this cigar may cost?
Is this for Robusto?
This is anywhere between like a Robusto and a Toro.
So I have to give it a range? Wise. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a range here. I'm going to nail this one. I promise. I'm going to nail it. Come on, Josh. You're a professional. This is what you do. $9 to $11.
You're right in that range.
Did I get it?
Well, this particular cigar is 10 of what they said on average.
Let's go.
But okay. I've seen the other cigars go up to about $11 to $12 as well, too. If you're looking for a Toro,
yeah,
it costs you about $12 or $13 as well, too. So,
okay. I'm counting anyway, that as a win. I'm counting it
that,
as a win.
That is a good win. Yes. So the Mil Diaz, either in the Edmundo sizing or also in the other sizing that I looked at that was pretty comparable, is called the Sublime.
So sublime.
The Sublime. So the mm-hmm. Sublime is more towards that Toro sizing. The Edmundo is more towards the Robusto kind of ranging too.
But all right.
10 to 13-ish dollars. It's been hitting on about 91 to 93 kind of area. The Mil Diaz by Crown Heads.
Crown Heads. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack bringing the heat as always. I'm counting that as a win for me as well on the price check guess. That is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do, my friends. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. Today is going to be, I'm predicting this is going to be a long one. I don't know, but we've got a lot to cover here. So this is kind of, we got asked by quite a few people, actually sent us messages asking us to cover this. I was hesitant to at first, but then after the messages and then after chatting with Jack, I thought that it does have actually more local church, I would say, content in this than when I first looked at it. Right. So what I'm talking about, if you're not aware of the kind of the drama that happened a week ago, a video was released. And if you're not, if the title of this video doesn't trigger it for you, last week, or I would say probably a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago when we are recording this, a video circulated of a question and answer. It was actually a snippet of a question and answer panel involving Johnny Arvanis. I don't know exactly how to say his name. Johnny Arvanis, his dad, I believe, Scott.
Yeah.
Costi Hinn, and then John MacArthur. And I'm not sure if this came from it was for the Valley Bible Conference. is what the conference
specifically to pastors, I think it was too.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And a video clip of kind of the end of that question and answer went quite viral. And in it, you have John MacArthur making some statements regarding things like OCD, ADHD, PTSD. Basically, the topic of mental health came up, and it was in the realm, and we're going to play the clip for context here, but it was in the realm of speaking about, I think the overarching question was, how much do I protect my children from the world versus pushing them into the world? Right. Mm-hmm. Good question. And it's a question that, that so many people need an answer to. Every parent, every Christian parent needs to have an answer for this, and every parent's going to answer it a little differently.
Yeah.
Right. Depending on the context and upbringing and convictions and so many of those things. Right.
I will say this too. The whole question and answer was pretty fine. I wasn't.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
It was, I mean, for the most part, like it was pretty good.
Yeah. Nothing wild. You know, I listened through it. There was nothing really out of ordinary, nothing crazy. And then things went out of left field. Things went off the rails pretty quick. Yeah, I feel like this was like John MacArthur's like Stone Cold Steve Austin entrance. He was like, this has been too calm.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Time for me to blow things up. The glass breaks. John MacArthur out there cracks a couple frescas above his head and does the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Rides a four-wheeler down to
rides
the ring.
Rides a four-wheeler down.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to have some Welsh's. All right. But in all seriousness, some of the comments that were made obviously were very inflammatory. Let's just say that this video caught fire, right? And as always, an issue that I have with this kind of stuff, Jack, is it's never in context, right? Whenever videos like this pop out, my first question is always, okay, I have to hear the context of this, because the video itself, it's there's stuff in there that I disagree with, right? Listening to the context, and we're actually going to provide you listeners with the context as well. It does give better understanding of where they're coming from, but some things I believe still need to be addressed. So we were asked to cover this by a few people. Ed being one of them, faithful listener Ed. So we're gonna do our best, and you know, coming from my background, kind of being in the counseling realm for, you know, 15 years or so. And then Jack, obviously being a combat vet, there are thoughts on some of these statements. So we're gonna play the context. We're gonna go back a little bit. We're gonna let it run just so we can be as fair and honest as we can with these comments. We want you to know kind of where they came from, so we're not just doing the soundbite gotcha that a lot of other folks seem to be content to do. That's not what we want to do here on the Reformatory. We do want to give respect to men who have been in ministry a lot longer than us, but that we disagree with. And I think one of the ways you do that is that you honor them by at least not taking their words out of context, right? So that's what we're going to do right now. Again, I'm hoping technology works. I really want it to work. I'm going to share the screen. Jack, can you see this?
Yes.
Yes, dude. Oh, man. We're like 2 for 2.
Winning.
Like, we're winning. Okay. So I'm going to play. A question is posed to John MacArthur by Scott Ardavanis. I believe that's how you say his name. And then we're going to obviously kind of, once we get into kind of the meat of the content here, we're going to pause and have some discussion and stuff like that. So here we go.
I want to ask you a question here. He's written a lot of books, but his last book was The War on Children, help our families navigate with the day we live in, and why you even wrote that.
Well, it's a combination of things. Just to lay it out simply, kids are sinful. I have great-grandchildren. And by the time they're three or four, their sin nature is starting to be manifest.
Wait, even in your grandchildren?
Even in my...
Okay.
So kids are sinful. Then you add to that that the sins of the fathers are visited on the generations, the third and the fourth generation. What does that mean? Simply means that the sinful characteristics of a given generation pass on to the subsequent generations. So that it's kids who basically have a sin nature to start with, and they have an inherited sin culture that they have to navigate and deal with. That ought to be enough. But this culture has taken it a step further, and they are now targeting children. The homosexuals say, we're coming after your kids. They're not trying to protect them. They're targeting them in the schools. They're targeting them through the media. Disney and companies like that that develop child entertainment are targeting children for really what amounts to moral and spiritual destruction.
Okay, let's pause there for just a sec. I have one quick thought on it. Obviously, this isn't the meat of what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah,
if the Q&A had stopped there, honestly, I wouldn't have much of a problem.
Yeah,
I don't take as perhaps as a doom and gloom approach to culture as MacArthur does.
Yeah,
I'm not full post mill like I do. You know, I'm not thinking that you know, things are ending that way. But he does have, I would say, much more of a pessimistic view of the state of the world than I would. Although. There are general things that he speaks of there that I do agree with, right? Kids, like, yes, kids have a sin nature. Of course, you're conceived with that. You are in a culture that is constantly moving against scripture, right? So you have to navigate that. You do have, you know, influences that want, you know, in this world that want to influence your children. That's how it's always been.
Yeah.
Right. It's always been that way. Right. Today it might be Disney, you know, tomorrow it's going to be something else. Right. So, yes, I do generally agree with the statements there that you basically you, as a Christian, you got to watch out for your kids. You know, like it's a dark world out there.
And yeah. Even I think it was Johnny, the guy who's sitting in the video on the very far left. Mm-hmm. He was talking about how him and his daughter, I think it was, don't watch a certain show. I think it was like Cocomelon or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like, we don't watch that because they turn one of the couples into like a lesbian couple or a gay couple.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's fair. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's basically what you do as a parent. Like, okay, I can control this. And then also, you should be armed. I think it was pretty good in that conversation too. He was saying like, come and talk to me about these things.
Yeah.
Like, come and talk to me about sexuality. Come and talk to me about stuff like that, mm-hmm. which I think is overall a very good assessment. Like, there's nothing wrong in those statements, but
yeah.
up until this point, yes. Everything,
yeah.
I was fine with everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right around the
yes.
general ideas. Okay.
Yeah,
it was
100%.
All fine.
Points for Blippi and Bluey, right? I mean, that's what I'm getting from this. Excavators and Australian dogs. All right.
Yes.
All right. So yes, up to this point, again, no major issues, right?
Yeah.
Let's continue.
So this is a war on the children. I was thinking about another part of it the other day. Uh-oh. I was reading a book, interesting book called A Profession Without Reason. It's a book that shows basically, this is pretty shocking to some of you, that psychiatry and psychology is finally admitting the noble lies that they've been telling for the last 100 years. And the major noble lie is there is such a thing as mental illness.
Okay. So yeah, obviously this is where it starts to get interesting in terms of the comments. And the first thing that I'll say, and then we'll let it play most of the way through. As pastors, and honestly, you know, whether you're in ministry or not, this is a good practice to keep, right? If scripture does not provide a blanket statement or understanding of a topic, we have to be very careful, especially as pastors, those that are responsible for spiritually leading our churches. We have to be very careful with blanket statements.
Yeah.
Because blanket statements are very, very dangerous, especially when you have individuals in your church that might fall into that blanket statement that you are required to shepherd. Now, you might not agree with, you know, the thing that you're blanket statementing. All right, fine. And that's worth discussion. But part of being a pastor, and I would say even just part of being a Christian, is taking the time and having the discernment to work through those things and not be lazy and make a blanket statement. Because blanket statements are easy and blanket statements are lazy.
Yeah.
And unless scripture gives those, they fall into that category.
Yeah.
And, you know, people might say, well, you know, you're just wasting time over communicating and things like, well, you know, sure. I would rather waste time and over communicate so that the point is understood and the discipleship and shepherding happens versus just making a very big blanket statement and leaving it out there for individual interpretation. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's part of why this video blew up the way that it did, is because as you're gonna continue to see, just like the one that was just made, you know, mental illness is a lie, right? That's a very, very, very massive. Well, it's very provocative, and it's a very massive overgeneralization and blanket statement.
Yeah.
Right. So we got to remember that as we traverse the rest of this video. And then as we talk about it afterward, you have to be willing to get dirty and have the conversations and do the shepherding. And that takes time and that takes work. But blanket statements are lazy. And we have to be very careful with them. Unless scripture, like I said, that's the caveat, because scripture is our authority. Unless scripture makes a blanket statement about something, we shouldn't put ourselves into that role and make them ourselves. That's my opinion. Jack, would you agree with that? Would you caveat that at all?
Yeah, and I'm just concerned because I would be concerned at Pastor John's church and Costi's church, because what Costi's doing is agreeing with what Pastor John is saying. So he's full sending agreements with these statements, and that if I was somebody who gets categorized with what John says after he just said there's no such thing as mental illness, and then he goes into the depths of that. But if I've had trouble with mental illness in the past, and I have gone to either one of these men's churches, I feel like I just got my pain, my suffering just got thrown out the window. Like you're basically, you're hallucinating at this point, you know, like you are, I don't, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff goes through my mind. Like, this is not a very pastoral way to go about people's pain and suffering that they dealt with in this world.
Yeah.
And even just sin, even just the nature of our world, which is fallen and it is sinful. And I think that mental illness comes from a fallen and sinful world in which we aren't in Eden. We aren't in the New Jerusalem yet. God has not, you know, kind of taken our bodies and made them to the standard that he will once have them as perfected again. But so, yeah, I think that all of those things like fall into the realm of that. which is just blanket statement like, oh, if you've dealt with this, well, that doesn't really exist. So
right. And what Jack means, you know, for those that are just listening to the podcast and aren't watching it, what Jack means when he says Costi is agreeing with it, Costi Hinn is sitting right next to MacArthur and nodding his head yes in approval throughout the entire video.
And he has lipped like that's right or yes a couple times too.
So
throughout this
there is visual confirmation of agreement there. So just want to provide that context to our those that don't watch on YouTube that just listen, right? And as to my knowledge, as of yet, has not come out with any type of statements or anything like that, stating anything other than agreement with it. And I know he's been asked. You know, that's been pretty obvious. So that's what Jack means when he's talking about Costi, who is his own pastor in Arizona. Has a pretty big church, and I know a lot of young folks at his church too, right? So that's just that context. So again, keep those things in mind as we keep going here. We got to be pastoral in our responses. Even if we disagree with the topic, then even more so, you have to be pastoral, because that's when our guards can go down. And as we'll continue to see, statements are made that aren't helpful when it comes to shepherding the flock. So let's continue here.
Now, this isn't new. You have Thomas Sasse back in the 1950s writing a book, who is a psychiatrist, on the myth of mental illness. There's no such thing as PTSD. There's no such thing as OCD. There's no such thing as ADHD. Those are noble lies. To basically give the excuse to, in the end of the day, to medicate people. And Big Pharma is in charge of a lot of that. If you understand, take PTSD, for example, what that really is grief. You are fighting a war, you lost your buddies. You have a certain amount of survival guilt because you made it back, they didn't. How do you deal with grief? Grief is a real thing. But grief is part of life. And if you can't navigate grief, you can't live life. But if you clinically define that, you can give them a pill, a series of medications, and they end up in LA homeless on the sidewalk. This is in regard to children, it's the most deadly thing that's been unleashed on children, medication. We're trying to make clear to parents that behavior is essentially the result of choices that kids make. And if you parent them properly, they'll make right choices. But if you blame it on something other than their choices, and you identify them as having something they can't do anything about, but medicate it, you literally are turning your child into a potential, not only a potential drug addict, but maybe a potential criminal, because they never learn how to navigate life in a socially acceptable way.
All right. I think we'll stop there.
Let's take one punch at a time.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I want to save, Jack, if you're cool with that, I'd like to save the PTSD discussion for just a little later. I'd like to address some true things and some blanket statements. All right. Because I'm gonna lean on Jack a lot for the PTSD, or as I call it PTS, because I don't like the term disorder on there. We'll get to that in a minute. There are some things in here that I agree with, And there are some things in here that I think are very, very
murky.
Overreaching.
Yeah, murky when, or overreaching.
Right, right, right. And again, blanket statements. So here's some things that I will say I agree with. And then we will we'll continue there. ADHD and OCD in adults and children is overdiagnosed. That is true. I will not say, as MacArthur did there, that every diagnosis that falls under those categories is wrong, and because there are ill-intentioned individuals seeking to get kids hooked on medication. I do believe that medication is overprescribed often, but I do not believe that medication is always wrong or always sinful in the scenario.
Yeah.
I do believe that there are some fishy things, and especially after the few years that we went through with COVID, when we're talking about big pharma and all those things, there's fishiness there.
Sure.
There is. I do agree with that.
It's called greed. Let's be honest. Greed. Let's be
it's
honest with these people.
100%. 100%.
Our country is run on profit.
Yes. It's
and
run
if,
on money.
If companies cannot make profit and they cannot make money, then they don't survive.
Absolutely.
And when they don't survive, then stuff happens. So
these are things that even you know, I've been having these conversations, like I said, for 15 or more years now. I do think that there is a problem in it when it comes to secular counseling in relying on these things. And I don't believe that although I do believe that they can be effective at dealing with the symptoms that we struggle with, I don't believe they get to the heart. Medication will temporarily make you feel better. It's true. And sometimes in certain situations, you need something like that in order to get level so that you can deal with the root issues. Okay. But even secular doctors that I know that have prescribed medication, so many of them understand this doesn't fix the problem.
Yeah.
This is to help you get the tools in order to fix the problem. Right. And they want you off them as quickly as possible. Right. Mm-hmm. So, there are instances where it is very true that ADHD and OCD, especially in kids, it is absolutely overprescribed. It is true that medication can be overprescribed. ADHD and OCD can be overdiagnosed. All of that's true. Okay. But we have to be very careful when we call things like ADHD, OCD, even if you disagree with the terms, which I'll be honest with you, Jack, I'm not a fan of the terms. I'm not a fan of terms really in anything.
Yeah.
Or labels. I don't like that, because what I have found is that if somebody does struggle with these things, there's a tendency in our human nature to want to be identified as something and to have an identity. That's something we all struggle with. Now, that identity should be found in Christ, but as we know, we struggle so much as Christians to find our identity in anything other than Christ, right?
Yeah.
So if you slap somebody with a diagnosis or you slap someone with a label, that can very quickly become their identity. And that's why I'm not a fan of the labels, is because I find them often unhelpful, and it's just kind of another thing that you have to, another wall that you have to break through in helping this individual. Right now, that's an argument in and of itself. Right. Do you have thoughts on that before I continue on this?
No, I have more thoughts on his generalization of, well, if you don't parent them right and they don't make the right decisions,
go for it.
Like, that's, man, I feel like he just threw every parent under the bus, because basically what he said is, well, if you don't raise them right and they don't make the right decision, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on that one. I think he kind of, yeah.
It's not a helpful statement.
It's not a helpful statement. And then on top of it, well, if kids do this and they don't make the right choices, well, yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, like if they make these right choices, then they do that. But we don't live in that world. We live in a world where kids have chemical imbalances. We live in a world where kids have things that cause these things. And if we just throw that to, well, they don't really exist, because what it really comes down to is the fact that they weren't parented right. And it's like, I don't think we can be that like naive about the fact that if somebody has a serious issue that manifests itself into a mental disorder or a mental challenge, so to say, you can't just throw that and throw them under the bus to the fact that they didn't choose the right things or their parents didn't raise them right. Because there's case study after case study that shows that, well, parents didn't raise them right, but they actually turned out really well.
Yeah.
Or the parents didn't raise them right. Or the parents did raise people, you know, kids right, and the kids turned out bad. It's vice versa. So, like, which one is it? Is it the parenting that's bad or the kids' choices? Or is it a combination of both? And if they don't do one or the other, then it's their fault and they get this curse. He's talking very much in like this kind of blessings and cursings language, so to say. Like, if they don't do this, then they get cursed.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with his dichotomy there in how he thinks that because you don't have good parenting, that's going to equate to you making the wrong choices. And because you don't make the, you know, the right choices, thus you're going to be a drug addict or in jail. Like, wow, dude, like this is some extreme, like generalizations going on here with old Johnny Mac. So that tipped me off pretty quickly on those statements that he said. So,
and I'll say this too. I grew up, just to provide some context here, I grew up in the John MacArthur camp for about 20 years, mm-hmm. right? So this mentality is, and this belief is true. It is something that it's something that's true about the camp is what I'm trying to say, right? And there is a belief system in that camp that you know, the longer you are a Christian, the less you're going to struggle with things. Right. And the more you understand scripture and the closer you come to scripture, the more in line you are with scripture, you won't struggle as much with anxiety or depression or behavioral issues. Right. It is part of the belief system that kind of comes out of the MacArthur camp. And it's something that I grew up with, and it's something that, I'll be completely honest, took a while for me to kind of undo in my head, because I do think that there is some issues there with the law and gospel distinction from that camp. And I think that plays a lot into this for sure. And what I want to say about that, I think you already covered, you know, it really well, Jack, but if we took this mentality that the longer you're a Christian, the more you're, you know, the less you're going to struggle, right? If we took it outside of the MacArthur camp and placed it in any other camp, we would be calling it a prosperity gospel of sorts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I know MacArthur doesn't believe in the prosperity gospel. We had a whole, like, strange fire conference, right? But there is a type of prosperity gospel mentality when you take this stance and you begin to broad brush with this stance that if you're parenting right, your kids won't have behavioral issues.
Yeah.
He just got done. I mean, with respect, MacArthur, you just got done talking about how your 3-year-old great-grandchild has a sin nature.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, let's be very fair and clear here. You can be the best parent in the world. You can have, you know, family worship every night. You can have, you can catechize your kids and all this stuff. And my friends, if they are not of the elect, let's even put it there. It's gonna do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's almost like we have to make sure that we don't check our theology out at the door when we're talking about this kind of stuff. Original sin is real. Total depravity is real.
Yeah.
And just because you might parent your children in the way that they should go is not a guarantee that they're not going to have behavioral issues that you have to correct.
Yeah.
And to broad brush the whole thing and say that if your kid is diagnosed with ADHD or OCD, again, I'm not a fan of the terms, but I'm using them just because it's the context of the clip. If they're diagnosed with these things, it's automatically because you're failing as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe in some instances, maybe in most instances, but we cannot broad brush like MacArthur just did here. It's not helpful. It's not loving. It's not shepherding, and it lacks discernment. And I will say again, I want to be very careful to be gracious here. It's lazy. It's lazy. And this is coming from a counseling background where my job is to dig into things. I have to ask the hard questions and mm-hmm. get to the root of what's going on. And that never happens with broad brush. It yeah. never does. It never does. So we gotta be really careful with that. So there's so much more that could be said on the OCD and the ADHD, but this will be a 2-hour ep, and
we're not to do that.
We're not the briefing, right? So let's continue. Let's hop into the PTS. This one was a little bit more frustrating to me because yeah. When you're talking about PTSD and the way that he lumped them all together, I think is unhelpful because I do think they are two separate conversations. Yeah. I don't lump PTSD in with OCD or ADHD. I think it's a much greater discussion with the ADHD and the OCD diagnosis. But when we're talking about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, what he said is just flat out wrong.
Yeah.
It's scientifically false. The statement he made where, you know, there is no such thing as PTSD. It's just grief. it's just wrong.
Yeah.
It's not a correct statement. And I don't know where he got that or who he's reading or who's speaking into his life on that. But it's that statement. Again, this is why I kind of separate them. It's just false. It's yeah. not. And anyone who has counseled, anyone who has experienced or anyone who has counseled anyone that has gone through PTS, and I call it PTS because of this. And then I'm going to throw it over to you, Jack, because I really want your like you have got some valuable insight on this. The reason I don't like the word disorder on the end of PTSD and why I advocate for just calling it PTS is because there's nothing disorderly about it. When you go through things that leave your body and your mind fractured in a way and leaves them altered from their original state because of how traumatic the experience was. Again, this is a scientific thing that you can measure and that actually happens. There's no amount of a disorder that comes with it. This is your body's natural reaction to things that it has gone through. And when we slap, and Jack and I have talked about this before, when we slap the term disorder on the end of this, we're basically kicking these people when they're already down. They're yeah. already struggling with the physical effects and the mental effects of the going through and reliving the things that they've gone through, right? Whether it be sexual assault, whether it be combat, right? Fill in the blank. All those mm-hmm. things leave scars physically and mentally, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just not a fan of slapping the term disorder on them also, because now they think, oh, there's something wrong with me. No, yeah. It's what happens when you go through something traumatic like that. It's your body's natural response.
Yeah.
Right. It's a natural thing that occurs. So I'm not a fan of throwing the term disorder, because it denotes that there's something wrong. Right. And it kind of strips them of the hope. And I would say the ability to understand what's happening in the moment. Right. So that's just my little soapbox on taking the disorder off of PTSD. But Jack, I want to throw this over to you as someone who I know has and still to some degree struggles with PTSD, because you, my friend, are a combat vet.
Yeah.
I'd like to know some of your thoughts on this, my friend.
I think it was weird how he just started off with like soldiers. Like, that's okay. So John MacArthur is now an expert on the combat vet experience. Okay, we'll see about this. It's just the diagnosis he gave is just flat out just it's untruthful. Mm-hmm. I don't have PTS because I have grief. Now, I do say that there's a certain survivor's guilt that you go through. That's part of that. But
and grief can be part of PTSD for sure. Or excuse me, yeah. PTSD. I even did it. Yeah.
But let's be honest, like, war is not normative here, people.
No, it's not.
like going to war with a terrorist organization that wants to blow you up, blow you and your friends up pretty much every day of the week for a year is not normative. Like, let's frame it in that. And there is, yeah, it's just, there's a lot. I saw things in Afghanistan that just, you know, there's, I think that it's gotten more under control, I would say, over the last, 4 or 5 years. That's been helpful. And I think part of it, too, to be quite honest, was actually a therapy, like a nonprofit therapy organization that I went through. Hmm. Surprisingly, they were secular and they did not prescribe me any medication. It was way more of a conversational based therapy. And they only said, and it really goes back to, this is where I think John MacArthur is completely out of touch, too, because yes, there's a certain amount of psychiatrists and psychology that could recommend you drugs in order to kind of ease some certain things. Mm-hmm. But then there's also ways in which you talk things out and actually helps a lot. Like, I don't think people know this, but a lot of PTS in the military sometimes comes from the organization that you're in and how it's run. Because you have jerks in the military, for lack of the better saying, that will lord it over you and will make your life a complete living hell and misery. And there's a lot of traumatic experience in that where you don't know if I don't do something right. This goes even back to maybe the conversation too of what we talked about parenting. If I don't do something right or say yes, I will suffer consequence.
Right.
If I don't say the right words, if I don't do the right, quote unquote, do the right things as per my military culture, mm-hmm. I will suffer for that. Like, I even had to do that in my marriage. Like, hey, this is why I don't say no to you, you know, mm-hmm. to my wife. It's because the military has conditioned me to say yes.
Yeah.
And if I say no,
mm-hmm.
then you will be the punishments will come.
That's
right. You know?
Yeah.
So you have to frame this in different ways. Like, it's not just what MacArthur kind of broad brushes and saying, well, your buddies died, so you're grieving them. And that's, you don't really have PTS, you have grief. No, I saw our vehicles getting blown up. Like, I saw like my soldiers getting attacked by IEDs. Like, mm-hmm. that's not normative. Like, you don't go to work and on I-5, like, a bridge blows up every single day. Like, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Like, if stuff was happening like that every single day in Seattle, we would call that a war zone.
Yeah.
But there's no war zones that are technically happening in the United States unless you categorize certain metro areas in the rate of crime. Right?
I mean, we've got a lot of guys that seem to think Twitter is a war zone. So they're getting their stars. They're getting all their badges.
I'm a Twitter veteran out here.
They're getting all their merit badges.
But
all the fights they're starting.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is like when you just say that there's a certain level of, and he was basically framing it, you experience war, you don't know what to do with grief, and so you can't function. And then you take drugs. And then after you take drugs, somehow he went from taking prescription drugs all the way to you end up on the street in LA, like you're homeless.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest, like John MacArthur is not thinking in a way that most people think. And John MacArthur does not know the combat or the military veteran experience of experiencing traumatic events and then going through psychology or therapy or certain amounts of therapy.
Sure.
Getting prescribed drugs or not getting prescribed drugs. Like, I went through therapy. I didn't get prescribed drugs because a lot of stuff that I could talk about, there was a certain line of reasoning that was happening.
Yeah.
And my therapist was really good. He was actually also he was not stationed anywhere outside the United States. He wasn't deployed in that fashion. But
yeah.
I will say, like, he did a great job of just like cutting through a lot of stuff to say, like, do you think it's this? And just asking those questions and being curious about it and just letting that stew.
Yeah.
Really helped me in a lot of different areas of my life. And I didn't just prescribe medication, people.
Right.
Like, I think that's a danger that we broad brush to. Like, all therapists just, all they do is just check, like, write out those medications for veterans and then they cash them in and they get those drugs.
Sure.
I think there's a certain population that doesn't need medication and then there is a population that does need medication. But to broad brush the military veteran experience and saying just because you take drugs, you're going to end up on the street homeless.
Yeah.
That is a very big jump and a big gap to make on the end of it. Yeah. So.
No, I completely agree. And again, like, you know, we can have I'm fine with having discussions with anybody about the benefits or not benefits of medication, right? Again,
sure.
that's not what this episode is about, right? I wear my thoughts on my sleeve with that, and I'm open to conversation, right? But especially with this topic, we're talking about PTS, right? You have some people in your church that have gone through some horrific experiences.
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to counsel someone who is grieving much differently than I'm going to counsel someone who is struggling with sleep or fear or anxiety because they are 2 weeks out of being sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
Okay. Might there be a little bit of grief there? Yeah, sure. Sure. But it's not just grief.
Yeah.
Our bodies are finite. And when we experience something that is so far out of the norm from the normal human experience, normal things that we can deal with on a regular day, right? Things like I said, like a sexual assault or things that Jack went through, seeing his buddies getting blown up. That's not normal. Our minds are not equipped to deal with things of that sort, right? When they study the minds of, you know, let's go to an extreme here. When they study the minds of serial killers and you look at how they got where they came from and how they got to where they are, you see a searing of the conscience, an altering of its natural state to where they are now. And now they're able to do all these heinous things because look at how they literally changed the composition of their brain to get to where they are, right? That's the effects of the fall, right? We live in a world that is evil. We live in a world where our bodies are subject to sin. and it affects us, right? It's the same with PTS. You are going to be affected by those things. And to broad brush the way that MacArthur did here shows a lack of discernment with this topic, a lack of care, and I would say grace for individuals that are dealing with some pretty serious things, a lack of understanding of just the topic itself, and a lack of ability to shepherd those individuals through. And again, like being in the counseling realm for as long as I have been, I've seen many different individuals on the spectrum of biblical counseling. And there's a lot of guys coming out of kind of this particular camp that have this mentality when it comes to specifically PTS. And I'm just going to say now it's dangerous. It's dangerous. And we got to be really careful when shepherding and counseling and caring for individuals in our churches that have experienced some pretty traumatic things. You can't just assume that it's just grief and you just have to get over your grief and then everything's going to be okay. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, right? I had something this afternoon, right, where I received a text and it, just because of the crazy things that I've gone through in my church experience, it made me panic. I panicked. I had a mm-hmm. legitimate moment of panic, and I had to calm myself down, right? It wasn't grief, right? I have dealt with the grief of the things that I've gone through, but the effects still linger.
Yeah.
We have to understand that when we're shepherding. So I'm not a fan of the broad brush. I'm not a fan of these statements just because I think they're unhelpful. And Jack, just to kind of close out, I know, like we said, this is going to be a long up. This is kind of where I want to take kind of the rest of the conversation. And I want to round this off being as humble and gracious as I can, because I understand that MacArthur is an individual that has had the reach that he has had in this world, in this country, for the gospel is beyond anything I'll ever be able to do. I fully admit that. The Lord has used him in some incredible ways, in some very, very crazy, amazing ways. Do I disagree with him theologically on a lot of stuff? Yes, I do, right? But I have to acknowledge how much the Lord has used him to bring people to an understanding of the doctrines of grace, right? God's sovereignty, things like this. The Lord has used MacArthur. Mm-hmm. All that being said, and I want to be very careful when I say this, we are seeing in these clips what happens when you have no one around you telling you no. We're seeing in these clips what happens when you have nobody around you that is truly your accountability as a pastor, right? And I think there's a lot that goes into that. I think that MacArthur has not had accountability for a while.
Yeah.
I think Papa Sproul was one of the last yeah, ones that kind of kept MacArthur in check.
Yeah.
Right. MacArthur, obviously if you watch the video on YouTube, you see it even more. MacArthur's getting old. He's old, and you can hear it in his voice.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it in his mannerisms. And when we get old, we begin to lose our functionality. It's how it works, right? And with age, MacArthur has become increasingly unfiltered. And I think when we see clips like this as a result of that, and unfortunately for many years, and again, it's coming from someone who's been in the camp for a long time, there seems to be somewhat of a touch not the Lord's anointed mentality when it comes to JMAC.
Sure.
And he gets a pass on a lot of things. And even this, there, he had his supporters and his people, rally and say why the statements he made, didn't need any type of filter whatsoever, right? But Jack, as pastors, especially those that are leading the church, we need people around us that hold us accountable, that call us out when we're wrong. And when we get to a certain age, my friend, we need people around us that are, that love us enough to tell us, hey, it's time to hang up the spurs.
Yeah.
You've done enough.
Yeah.
It's time to back off a little bit, because when we lose the ability to be filtered, we need filters as pastors. We need to know definitely what to say, but we need to know how to say it. And when you lose the ability to filter hard truths, especially hard truths, you lose the ability to shepherd.
Yeah. Yeah, I think on top of it too, it's a pattern that I've seen with John MacArthur, where he has used this kind of prosperity gospel, I guess, and distinctions of law and gospel kind of get frayed in this too. But like, if you suffer from anxiety, you're really not contemplating the goodnesses of God's grace. You're not praying enough. You're not reading scripture enough. You're not looking at things. It's like, like, let's not throw people's genuine feelings they have about life under the bus because they're not doing XYZ spiritual disciplines.
Right.
And that solves everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the pattern is there where it's just not helpful for him to say, now, don't get me wrong, like, contemplation and reading scripture and praying are all good things. Mm-hmm. Like, by no means am I throwing out the baby with the bathwater on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
But when you do those things and you still suffer under anxiety or things that we talked about, you know, OCD, ADHD, PTS, and there comes back again, like, these statements like, well, they don't exist, or you just need to do better. That is absolutely a form and kind of like a subgenre of the prosperity gospel where it's just not helpful to Christians.
Yeah.
It's just not helpful to anybody on the Christian journey. Yes. Like, on the, like, we just had a, you know, a sermon on Acts where Paul and Barnabas, they get stoned, like Paul gets stoned straight up for sharing the gospel.
Right.
And, you know, on this journey, there's going to be some people that, that kind of missed. And it's also the part of Acts where people mistake them for Zeus and Hermes, you know, people mistake your message and may lift you up or may misunderstand you, but actually praise you in the same, you know, essence, or they misunderstand you and come after you again too. So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yep. So there's more that could be said, but this might already, I think it's already the longest reformatory that we've ever had. So, but we wanted to make sure to do our diligence on this. Because I think there's some really important topics here. And my prayer for MacArthur is that he would see, and he would see how the Lord has used him throughout his life, and that he would be content. He would be content, and he would be content to fade into obscurity and live out the remaining days just with his family. You know, because I think it's to the point where it is becoming unhelpful. And I would hate to see I don't like the term legacy, but it's a term. I'd hate to see the legacy that he does have for preaching the gospel be tarnished by statements made in old age. I would hate to see that. But we hope that this ep has been somewhat encouraging. We hope that, you know, we provided maybe some things to think about as we think about, you know, our responsibility to be diligent in our speech when it comes to those in our local church. So, Jack, my friend, why don't you land this mammoth of an episode and get us out of here, my friend?
I will try and take the controls from you, Josh, and land this mammoth plane that just were on hour plus.
Mayday.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate just the try,
just a nice college try that Josh are making and to help you and steward you into your local church and appreciate your local pastors and know that they care for you and that mm-hmm. they're there to counsel you with wise counsel mm-hmm. and not just broad brush what you go through on a daily basis, but they're there to help you in this Christian journey through this world. And you, if you appreciate those things, you can follow us on the different sociable platforms where you can do what a couple people did and ask us about this, this clip and want to get our opinion about this and how this ties back to the local church. And so you can follow us on the Facebook, the Metaverse, the Instagram, might go well with some chocolate marshmallow, just saying, or the, sociable formerly known as Twitter X. You can follow us on those platforms at the tag at Reformatory Pod. You can send us a message. You can DM us. Like I said, people DM'd us about this one that they wanted us to cover this clip and see how we tied that back into the local church, and especially how maybe some pastors would go about reaching out to people that suffer from PTS or ADHD or OCD, and not just broad brush these different things, but really start to dig into those things and start to look and investigate and actually love on people who might have these things, because contrary to popular belief, they do exist. And it's tough to deal with folks who you may know in your family or your friend circle that have these, that are suffering under these. And so we are praying that you go about those relationships in the right way and show them grace and mercy. And share the gospel with them. But Josh, you can tell the people how they might follow us on the other various ways.
That's right. That's right. Well, as always, we appreciate a good like and review. If you appreciated our candor, even if you disagreed with some of the things we said, we hope that you appreciate the way in which we went about the conversation. And we hope that that's worth 5 stars, a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast or Spotify. Maybe a little review. We would really appreciate that. We do have a YouTube, so you can watch the Reformatory as well as listen to it. Head on over there and like, comment, subscribe, ring the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We do have a Patreon. We have a good time over at the Patreon. We have an exclusive chat where we get to talk with our patrons. You get primary rights, I would say, to suggesting episodes. You get bonus episodes, this episode given to you early, all that good stuff. So if you would like to join the Patreon, the Podluck, as we call it, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.